At this point, I would invite you to ask your questions.
Let me just ask for comments from, we have a representative of the United States State Department in our audience today, and I'd like him to respond because Mr. Ting has pointed out that the State Department is in disagreement with the commission, that position that you heard the other day. Can we have a microphone?
Thank you. My name is David Rottermel. I work in the Office of International Religious Freedom in the Department of State. Our office writes the annual report to Congress on international religious freedom, which surveys all countries and territories of the world. My friend, Mr. Knox Thames, who used to work in our office, now works for another body, as he explained yesterday, the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom, which is an independent commission that reports more to Congress than it does to the executive branch. Whereas our office is headed by an ambassador at large who is charged with, negotiating and advancing international religious freedom. Our ambassador did undertake a lengthy process with the government of Vietnam, and Vietnam did indeed make such progress that in 2006, they were no longer listed on the countries of particular concern list that is determined by the Secretary of State. The U.S. Commission has its own list, which is what Mr. Thames was referring to yesterday, of recommendations. But their recommendation has not been adopted by the U.S. government, whereas the State Department's has. So in recognition of that progress, which was made by the government of Vietnam and was recognized, by the Department of State in its reports, and that is why there is a difference in the recommendations. Our latest annual report will be published later this month, and you will be able again to see the reports on the various countries and territories of the world, and you can see the latest information at that time. But again, Vietnam is not going to be on our list of recommendations for countries of particular concern.
Thank you very much. We felt that in deference to our visitors from Vietnam, that clarification and explanation on their part and on the part of the State Department was justified and appropriate. I can personally testify that having met with religious affairs officials at all levels of the Vietnamese government, that they are indeed trying very, very hard to accommodate the various religions that are seeking access to their people. That doesn't mean that there aren't problems. We have problems in almost every country in which the religious affairs are discussed. But they are making wonderful progress, great progress, as indicated by the representative from the State Department, sufficient progress that they have been taken off of the CPC list, and as he indicated, when the report comes out later this month, they will not be on there again. Now we'll open it up to questions from the audience. Please wait until you get the microphone for the translators, please.
Thank you very much. You hear me? Is it on? Thank you.
You were okay.
Okay. Thank you for the clarification of a question that some of us had yesterday when we heard from the U.S. Commission. I'm very glad, Mr. Chairman, that you were able to get this on the table. And thank you for the representative from the State Department. Above all, thank you to our Vietnamese guests for the progress they've been making and continued encouragement. My question really resolves around what are the differences between commission, not institutionally, but why is the State Department pleased with progress and why is there a remaining difference with the U.S. Commission on this? Would you characterize that in a quick summary? Not to go on and on, but I think some of us would appreciate that information.
I think the Vietnamese delegation would like to hear the answer to that question also.
That is a very good question. We are two separate institutions, but we're both created by the same U.S. law passed in 1998, the International Religious Freedom Act, passed remarkably enough unanimously by both houses of Congress and signed into law by President Bill Clinton. This was, I think, part of Congress's design was to get as broad perspectives on questions of international religious freedom as possible. They established an office within the Department of State to make sure that religious liberty is one of the core values of U.S. diplomacy. They also created this independent commission, which is headed by volunteer commissioners appointed, I believe, 3 by the executive branch and 6 by Congress. These are independent academics and independent experts on religion and religious freedom from a wide diversity of backgrounds and perspectives. Therefore, sometimes we have different perspectives. We within the State Department work more on the basis of country-to-country diplomacy. Sometimes I think we may have different sources of information, perhaps, whereas the Commission operates more in the realm of public affairs and press releases. We operate more behind the scenes in terms of face-to-face diplomacy. Our office tries to make sure that our issues are brought up whenever our department principals, like the secretary, are involved, or when President Obama went to Cairo and gave his speech, which dealt much with religious freedom. Whereas the commission makes their own fact-finding tours and they come to their own conclusions for which they, of course, are responsible. We have honest differences of opinion in some cases, and this is one of them. I think that's about all we can say about it.
Thank you again. If it's any comfort to our Vietnamese friends, some of our closest allies, like Saudi Arabia, happen to be on that list for reasons that might be obvious to many. We'll turn it back over to the audience for additional questions. And while you're thinking about it, I'll ask another question. The issue that I'd like to ask Mr. Ting is, what is the process by which a foreign religious body applies to the Vietnamese government for permission to operate within Vietnam? And the second part of that question is, approximately how many religious bodies, to date have been through that process and accepted by the Vietnamese government?
I'd like to thank you for your question, Perla Bullock. I want to say this. In June 2004, the Vietnamese Congress has passed the religion law and was in effect in the 15th of November in 2004. Before these amendments, Vietnam has about 16 different religions with different organizations. After 4 years of these amendments, Vietnam now has about 12 different religions and about 31 different religious affiliations. And according to that amendments, the Vietnamese government is continuing to look over the look through the paperwork, and those that meet the criteria will be accepted and registered. And now, I like in Vietnam now, there are about 20 million members from different religious groups. Vietnam now has about 80% of the Vietnamese members has some kind of religions. And Buddhism has about 10 million members. And Catholics has about 6 million members. And Kaodaism about 2.5 million members. And in Vietnam now, there are about 25 different worship, 25,000 different worship places. And the leaders of the different religious group are about 70,000. And I want to say this so to show that in the past year, Vietnamese government has supported and has promoted the religious freedom so that different religious groups could have normal activities. And now with the open door policy and integration, many foreigners have come to Vietnam with different needs of religions and has given pretty preferable conditions to worship in the worship places with different religious groups in Vietnam. I don't know if that answer your question yet, Mr. Pollock.
That does answer my question. Any elaboration from any other members of the panel? We'll go back to the audience.
Has the government entered into any written understandings with any specific religion in Vietnam? And if so, how is that working?
Hiện nay thế này ạ, về Việt Nam là một nước cũng.
So I want to say this: Vietnam has passed through many wars in the past, and in the renovation period, we are gradually to perfect our laws as far as religion goes, and religious activity of the foreigners are one of the things that we consider right now. And that process, during that process, the officials will continue and will also suggest to the Congress to pass those. And because every single country, when they suggest a law, this is a process of passing and getting opinions from the Congress and from the people. And that process takes time. Thank you for that question.
Another question? We don't want to give Cole too much time. We have another 20 minutes if you'd like to use that.
Barbara Colton, is it on?
Yes.
Barbara Colton, United States. I'd like to ask a question with regards to the publication and distribution of religious materials. Do you have a committee or a department that oversees this? Is it permissible for religions to publish and distribute materials? Or if they're published outside of the country, can they be distributed inside Vietnam?
Và thưa quý vị là ở Việt Nam hiện nay á thì có nhà.
Ladies and gentlemen, today in Vietnam, there are many different religions, and every year, dozens of religions distribute different materials. For example, the Bible. As we know today. The Bible in Vietnam is spread all over the country, and there are plenty of copies for whoever would like one. And the Bible isn't only published in Vietnamese, but published in many languages of minorities that are living in Vietnam, so that these minorities may also use the Bible in their religious pursuits. The Bible is published in many minority languages that only exist in Vietnam and in Southeast Asia. Books are also published in other languages so that members of other faiths, such as Buddhism, can read these pieces of material and resources as well. And if you come to Vietnam, you'll see the diversity of the many books, of religious books in Vietnam, including books, Christian books, non-Christian books. There are plenty. In my country, this day there are.
In my house right now, there's plenty, and there are about hundreds of different books from different religious organizations.
Thank you.
A follow-up question on that: one of the issues that religions around the world face in many of the countries in Asia, and perhaps in Vietnam also, and that is religious materials that are published outside of, say, Vietnam, instructional materials, for example, that are used in various courses within the local congregations. Is it permissible to, under Vietnamese law, for those type of materials to be imported for the benefit of local members of the particular church.
This is our perspective today. Vietnam has many laws, publishing laws, when it comes to importing documents, religious documents and cultural documents. The issue is many religions have special needs that must be approved by the government.
Chuyên để mà giải quyết cái việc xuất nhập cảnh các cái văn hóa phẩm vào Việt Nam.
Another follow-up question: How does a religious body outside of Vietnam go about getting governmental approval to bring such instructional material into Vietnam?
As I was just saying. Because there's a law for importing different materials, especially religious material, to the country. Because before that, I also know that there's a lot of different religious groups imported different materials, and they also went through to different departments, especially like the Department of Culture, to get permission to import those materials into the country.
Thank you. Okay, back to the audience for questions, follow-up, or otherwise.
Michael Jensen again from the United States. I'd be interested to know, perhaps you've addressed this a little already, what trends in religious belief do you see generally in Vietnam? So, for example, are believers, those who have a religious belief, increasing, decreasing, staying about the same in Vietnam? And are there other trends, general trends in religions that you can comment on in Vietnam?
Tôi cũng đã thưa với quý vị khán giả.
As mentioned before, in Vietnam, most of the people has the need of spiritual life. Vietnamese can probably follow one belief and also follow another religion, at least one religion. And in the recent years, we saw that the numbers of the people that follow different religions has increased. And in fact, the different religious group in Vietnam, just as I mentioned in my presentation, they live harmoniously between themselves and in one area, one district, there has people that follow Buddhism, follow Catholicism, or different religious groups. So if you go to Vietnam, you will see in one small area, there's one church, and next to it there is a pagoda, or next to it is a Catholicism worship place. And so all of those, they work together from a very long time. So in Vietnam, there is not very rare to see the conflicts, religious conflicts, because Vietnamese people tend to be harmonious and tend to work in between themselves.
Another question here.
Yes, this is Dave Christensen. I'm Dave Christensen from the United States. As I've attended the various sessions I've heard different perspectives on what freedom of religion or belief means. And yesterday, as I listened afterwards to your discussion with Knox Thames about his view on Vietnam, you made the comment, well, I believe we see this subject a little differently. But you also said we should focus on our similarities. And while I believe we have many similarities in our beliefs, sometimes it helps us understand more clearly to define what some of those differences might mean. So I am curious to know when you said, I guess we see this subject a little bit differently, in what way would you see differences in your view of freedom of religion from the view that he expressed? Just in general terms, I would be interested in hearing what you would consider maybe some of those differences, because I think you've done a very good job of expressing some of the similarities and the common goals that we share in this area. Is that clear?
Yes.
Thank you.
Tôi cũng đã thưa với quý vị.
As I presented, the purpose of the government is to promote and to secure the religious freedom of the people. And so because of that purpose, even if it would have different means, and no matter whatever means that we go through, but if the people see that they do have the religious freedom, they can follow. And because of every country has a different policies, and because we just have a different history in making, and the last result, the last thing is the result of the policies that we had. And I want to say this, in Vietnam, we understand that Vietnamese government has a responsibility in making sure that the people has religious freedom. And there are ceremonies of different religious groups. And in those ceremonies, there's 500,000 people at least attending. For example, like in the Christmas time, or because there are 100,000 people to attend. And so local Vietnamese government has helped. They want to help to make sure that there's order in the traffic and in everything else, as to make sure that the people calm and comfort when they attend these ceremonies. And I want to give another example as well. There's other different international delegations to come to Quang Tri province and to attend the ceremony Lavan, and have 1 million people. If we didn't have the help of the government, those religious groups could not have such success. So in behalf of the Vietnamese government and in the behalf of the local Vietnamese government, they do their best to make sure that the people have religious freedom. And in there, they have relatives. And in those religious followers, there's a lot of relatives and son, daughter, father, mother of the officials. And I hope that you all here could come to Vietnam. In the time, there's a lot of ceremonies from different religious groups or from at the time that they have Christmas time or when the Buddhism has their big ceremony, you will see how it works and to validate my word today. Thank you so much.
Yes, Judge Wallace.
Thank you. I was in Vietnam last June, a few weeks ago, and I had no problem finding a place to go to church, and it looked very familiar. And I suppose when I go back to Vietnam next month, I'll find the same thing. I was advised of something when I was there, and I wondered if there's an answer for it. And that is that I was advised that religion seems to be progressing much faster in the south of Vietnam than in the north of Vietnam. That is, not only the Christian churches, but Buddhist churches and others seem to be expanding at a greater rate in the south than in the north. I wonder if that statistic is accurate. And if it is, do you have any idea why that would be?
Thank you for your concern, but concerning the development of religions, the country of Vietnam supports the development of all religions. And from different provinces, different areas of the country, we the promotion of each organization, each religion in that area. And at the same time, the development of religions depends on the needs of the people in that area. And so it could just be depending on the area and the people in that area. But your idea is acknowledged, and we will continue to investigate this.
We can just interfere in every time.
Thank you.
I am Don Allen from Utah. If a religious organization that is registered with the government believes that it suffers discrimination or any limitations on its rights in Vietnam, would this organization have access to a court of law to test its rights?
Chính sách của nhà nước Việt Nam ấy.
The Vietnamese policy is that all religions are equal according to the law, regardless of the number of members of the religion. And I can tell you that today in Vietnam, there is no prejudice between different religions. There are no conflicts, religious conflicts in Vietnam. And this is a blessing for Vietnam and for all of the religious organizations in Vietnam.
Okay. Yes. I asked my colleagues to send something.
Let me put the question in terms of what we're used to in Western countries, which may be unfair to our Vietnamese compatriots. But if a dispute arises, you've said disputes don't arise, but we find in our Western culture disputes always arise, unfortunately. And the issue is there judicial review available to an adherent of a particular religion who disagrees with a government decision relating to their practice of religion? Judicial review, I believe, is the question.
Yes, my associate will participate in this and answer this question. This question to us. We see that when religions in their religious practice have problems with the government and there are miscommunications, then they can present their problem in front of city officials. And if that does not resolve the issue, then they can be taken to a higher level of court for the case to be under review there as well. Your question is correct in many different fields and can be resolved in a variety of ways.
Nếu các cấp chính quyền có những quyết định về mặt hành chính mà trái với các quy định pháp luật thì sẽ các tổ chức tôn giáo có thể kiện các cấp chính quyền ra tòa và sẽ bị xử lý ở tòa. Còn nếu cái đó mà thuộc lĩnh vực chỉ sinh hoạt tôn giáo thì sẽ do các cấp chính quyền và cơ quan.
And if the city officials can resolve this issue, then the better. And if not, then it can be raised to a higher level. To other government officials. I'd also like to add one additional idea to this. Concerning all of your questions, I am excited that glad that you are understanding more about our country. And especially the questions about the development of religious freedom. And I suppose that the progression of religious freedom in Vietnam is much like that of other nations across the world.
We want to extend our great appreciation to the delegation from Vietnam, their candor, their presentation. We also appreciate the questions from the audience. And again, the candor and with which those questions were responded to by our Vietnamese delegation. They have been most willing to discuss in private any of these issues, so we invite any of you delegates and others to visit with them privately. They are very candid and very open and very honest, and I think, as expressed, they are very appreciative of our attempts, especially in the Western world, to understand the things that they are going through in struggling to develop some of these concepts that come so easy to us, but in many respects are not easy for them. So we appreciate their participation today.
On behalf of Vietnam, we thank all of you, distinguished delegates, ladies and gentlemen, for your contributions and for your comments and questions, and to help us to learn of our responsibilities to be better. And we thank you, and we also thank the government and government officials of the United States to help us in many different fields. And we wish you the best. Thank you.